Please stand as we continue to hear the word of the Lord, now from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, inherent within every text, and we might Bev and I were talking about maybe doing a Bible study on Saturday, starting in the spring, learning how to study the Bible. It's not to study the Bible, it's learning how to study the Bible. And every single text in the gospel has a problem. And we don't pay attention to that anymore because we don't pay attention to language. So we have a couple problems here to address. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, it's interesting. It's not a good thing to have Gabriel show up on your doorstep. Matter of fact, I would bet that most of you, especially as children, wanted to see an angel. I would be very surprised if you grew up in a Christian home and did not want to see an angel. I remember when I was very little, I used to hide under the covers trying to trick the angel. And then I would... Of course, never saw him. And I remember when I was a Roman Catholic, I would sneak into the church when nobody was there, thinking that I would be able to see an angel at the altar. Never did. And I shared with you a while back that about 5-6 years ago, I was coming up on 38 late at night from Hemet, and I felt that I was about to see an angel. And I was terrified. I was so terrified I almost peed my pants. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. And your pastor who all his life wanted to see an angel, as most Christians do, and then the reality that that might really happen just terrified me. Why? Because they don't come from our world. They're from heaven or from hell, right? They're from a whole nother dimension, a whole nother reality that we have not yet fully directly experienced on a regular basis. And all of a sudden, what happens to a shadow when it's in the light of the sun? It disappears. So what happens to us if we begin to move into the glory of God, of which his angels in heaven carry? Yeah, it's all of a sudden, you know, hey, I think I'm pretty important. All of a sudden we go, whoop. you don't seem to be much of anything. What happens at 9/11? Remember 9/11? What happens at Pearl Harbor? What happens when we have an earthquake? What happens if you're in the Midwest with a tornado? What happens when a plane crashes? What happens when a ship sinks? What happens when friends and neighbors come down with horrible diseases? You feel powerless and insignificant. Well, we feel that with those occurrences. Could you imagine when the glory of God becomes present to us through one of his angels? Now, Gabriel is not the best of angels to have appeared to you. We first see Gabriel in the book of Daniel. And something really unique happens with Daniel. Daniel is like Joseph. Daniel is like a second Joseph. He is an aide to the king of Babylon, right? As Joseph was the second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt. And what does he do? He takes care of his people and he has the king prosper. And of course, there's jealousy there. And he's doing great. And one of the things he does, just as Joseph does, is he tells the vision. Matter of fact, the king of Babylon has a vision about, remember, the head being of gold and the feet being of clay. And who tells him what this means? Daniel. And Daniel, he's constantly coming to Daniel for wisdom and guidance. I know the Lord is with you. I know your God is with you. Help me, explain this to me, so forth and so on. And we see this with Joseph. And it's really fascinating because throughout the entire Old Testament, guess what? Jews don't need an interpreter. They don't need to go to a seance. They don't need to have their palms read. Never. This is one of the reasons why this is forbidden in the Old Testament and forbidden for us too. You don't need it. Good, perfect example. Joseph has two dreams and he shares them with his brothers, right? And finally, the second dream he shares with his father as well. And immediately his father is outraged. And his brothers are outraged. They know exactly what that dream means. They know exactly what it means. And throughout all the Old Testament, you find all the Jewish people, whenever they have a dream from God, they understand it. They don't have to go to an interpreter to figure it out. They know exactly what it is. Why? Because the Spirit of God is with them. They are the chosen children of God. They have been called and elected by God. Therefore, they walk with God. Nobody has to explain it to them. Remember what Jesus says? The day will come when no one has to teach you. This is what he's referring to. Now, what happens with Gabriel? Gabriel gives a vision to Daniel. And Daniel is greatly distressed. Oh, just like in our text today with Mary. He's greatly distressed. And he can't figure it out. First time. First time that happens. The man, like Joseph, who could figure out the dreams, who walks with God. Remember in the furnace? He's thrown into the furnace as well, and he's with the lions. And now, all of a sudden, for the first and only time, we see him greatly distressed, and he doesn't know the meaning of this dream. And why doesn't he know the meaning of this dream? Because he knows the meaning of the dream. That's a little confusing, but let me say it again. Those of us who are sinners know this well. He doesn't know the meaning of the dream. Because he knows the meaning of the dream. And he doesn't like it. Have we been there? Raise your hand. Oh yeah. We see something come down the road and we really don't want it. Because that's not what we're praying for. Where is Daniel? He's in Babylon. Why is he in Babylon? Because the Jewish people have rebelled against God, right? And God has taken away their temple and their land, right? And now they're in exile to repent. And what is the promise that Jeremiah gave them? That they will one day return to their land in 70 years, and God will give their land and their temple back to them. Right? So what are they all doing in Babylon? They're going, boy, we can't wait to get home. We can't wait to get home. We can't wait to get home. This is great. Okay, no matter what we have to go through now, no matter what difficulties, no matter what problems, no matter what struggles, no matter what enemies we have to face, in 70 years this is going to be over and everything's going to be okay. What is the dream? The vision that Daniel is given is today. The temple will be destroyed. The children of Israel will suffer, and an abomination will sit on the top of Zion. For us, it's the Dome of the Rock. And Daniel goes, wait a minute. Time out. Wait. Okay, we go through suffering. Then we have redemption. And there's even worse suffering to come? I don't understand. I don't understand this. Moses, his last vision is what? His last vision are Jewish mothers eating their children because they're starving in Jerusalem. And he says to the children of Israel, the reason why this will happen to you is because you have not loved me with joy. You have not worshipped me with joy. That's why this is going to happen. Worse things are coming. You think the 40 years were bad? Far worse things are coming for you. What does Jesus say on the day of his crucifixion to the women who are mourning? Don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves. Because it will be terrible in that day when it comes. Question, how did Mary know this was Gabriel? It's interesting because just before this one in the Gospel of Luke, angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And he's offering incense, which means he's among the high priestly families, one of the leading priests. And he's there offering incense. And Gabriel actually says, I am Gabriel. The Zechariah says, I, how can this be that my wife in her old age is going to have a baby? And Gabriel says, I am Gabriel. I stand before the Lord. Shut your mouth. You will say no more until the day of his circumcision. Now, by the way, that's not a good thing for a Jew. It's kind of a good thing for a Christian, but it's not a good thing for a Jew, because you cannot pray silently. All prayer has to be vocal. So guess what he was forbidden to do? He was forbidden to pray. Could you imagine God coming to you and saying, you shall pray no more? Could you imagine God saying that to you? Why? Because he did not have faith. Why did he not have faith? Because for year after year after year after year, even though he was among the high priestly family, the high priest group, guess what? People ridiculed him. His friends made fun of him. He was put down constantly. Why? Because his wife is a whore. Here is a priest who has a slut for a wife. How do we know that? We know that for a fact. Why? Because she's barren. Why would God close up her womb? Only for two possible reasons. She's sexually immoral, or she worships idols. And she's the wife of this priest? Oh, that's not kind of a pastor we want in our church. And he had to live with that. Year after year after year. What about her? You think she had many friends? No, she grew older and older, and that barrenness became more and more apparent. more, oh, you're not righteous. You're not a righteous person. You're a sinner. You're doomed and cursed by God. And she had to live with that. And notice what Gabriel says to her, to Zechariah. Joy now comes into your life. Joy. The Lord is giving you joy. And what does he do? I don't believe it. How? You know, we're too old for this. Abraham said the same thing. Sarah said the same thing. That's what Isaac means. He who laughs. After all these years, he had lost faith. He had lost hope. The Lord will not hear me. I'm just going to go through my routine. Lord's not listening. Lord's not hearing my cries. Lord's not listening. Lord's not going to respond. There is no God. God is not good. God doesn't care. And the angel comes, yes, he does. And his response is, no, he doesn't. And the angel goes, shut up. If you can't say it right, don't say anything at all. And that's what happens. Now notice in our text, how does Mary know it's Gabriel? Where does Gabriel say, I'm Gabriel? Huh? She knows in her heart. That's absolutely right, Bev. She knows in her heart. Now, Zechariah doesn't know because he doesn't have faith. She knows because she has faith. She doesn't have to ask the question, who are you? She knows. And she knows that when Gabriel shows up, it's not a good thing. Because you're on a roller coaster. You go from a bad situation to a wonderful situation of redemption to even a worse situation. What does Jesus say? If you wish to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Oh, this is why you came into the world, to make my life miserable. Yes. Because the world hates God. Now, it's interesting what happens here, because she's greatly, she's greatly troubled, and in the Greek, it's wonderful how this is placed in the Greek. In the Greek, we don't get this Hollywood picture of Mary going, oh, I have a little problem with this. Oh. It's not one of these at all. It is more like, it's more one of those. The Greek is powerful. She's at war with herself. Her heart is divided, a divided heart and a divided mind. And she's in total conflict. She's eating herself. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in that position where you're torn radically in two directions at the exact same time? That's her. Why? Well, guess what? Saint and sinner. Hello? The sinner part of her goes, I don't want any part of this. This is not good. The saint part goes, wow, I get to serve the Lord. And she's torn between these two. Have you been there? Have you been in that position where you're torn between, you know what God wants in your heart, and you know that you're going to pay a price for it. And you go, oh, I don't think I want to do this. Lord, can we find another way? Like poor Moses, you remember he's trying to get out of it when he's called. Can't you sit? You know, I'm slow of speech, yada, yada, yada. He's trying to do everything he can to get out of this thing. Well, that's what Mary is doing here. And immediately, Gabriel says to her, don't worry. Now, here's the next interesting thing. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Emmanuel. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Okay. That's not big news. That's not big news. So, Sarah, I'm going to pick on you. Okay? Because you're leaving as soon as I can maybe get away with it. Sarah, imagine your wedding day. And let's say you're going to get married in our church here. All right? And you come up here. And you're standing next to your groom. And you exchange vows. And you exchange rings. And before I say, you may now kiss the bride, I turn to you and say, one day you will conceive and bear a son. Is that earth-shattering? It is? I mean, world belongs to the Bible? It should be on CBS News? 6 o'clock? Is that earth-shattering? No! She's getting married! Hello! What do we hope will happen if she gets married? Right? You want grandkids? Yeah! Right! That's exactly, a matter of fact, when my Sarah got married on their wedding dinner, my son-in-law's parents stood up and said, how long before our grandkids? That was the toast they made. They've been asking ever since, every month, but for the last 5 years. we expect this. So, and also, was Joseph from the house of David? Yes. So is it unusual for the angel to say, and you shall have a son, and he shall inherit the throne? Well, that's nice. There's a good possibility of that. How many of you have ever bought a lottery ticket? Okay. Is there a chance you could have won? Yeah. So if I say to you, you might win, would that be breathtaking news? No. So, you see, if you really look at the text here, what's so magnificent about this angel saying that? Two things. One, because of faith, Mary knew the angel was not talking about Joseph. Two, Mary's not too certain about the meaning of this for her. This is going to change her entire life. She's not going to settle down, have a nice home, have kids, have the life she thought she was going to have. And the life that she's going to be given, the life that God is calling her to, is a life of hardship and struggle. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be wonderful, but it's going to be painful too. And this is why the angel says, don't be afraid. Fear not, for you have found favor with the Lord. Whatever you need, the Lord will give you. And to his faithful ones, he gives this. The angel doesn't stop there. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is how it will happen. And therefore the child born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now it becomes no longer definitely Joseph. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived. This is something that the Lord gives to the faithful ones. To those of us who walk in faith, he gives these signs. First of all, we know in ourselves the truth. We know what it is. We may not like it, and most of the time we're not going to like it, but we know. We know before something happens. We are all prophets. To some extent, we know what's going to happen. We see the Lord prepares us For every step of our journey, the Lord prepares us. When we really look at it, there's no surprises, are there? There's really none. The Lord prepares us for every step we take. And then as we know the truth, guess what the Lord constantly does? The Lord says to Mary, look, to prove and show you and to strengthen you, let me show you another miracle. Let me give you the sign, a sign. I will give you your cousin Elizabeth. The Lord gives to us a sign, doesn't he? If you are in Christ and you are saved by faith, you have had these signs all your life, haven't you? Where God reassures you and comforts you and tells you, it's okay, I'm with you. You're not alone, you're okay. You're doing all right. We walk by faith. We may not like the walk that we're taking, though, but we are not alone. God does not leave us alone. God never leaves us alone. What happened in the Holocaust? There was a fire by night and smoke by day, right? The crematoriums, yes? And what do we have in the desert for 40 years? Fire by night and smoke by day. The Lord was dying with his people. He was suffering with his people. What does he say when they go off to Babylon? I will go with you to Babylon. Don't stay in the Holy Land because I'm not there anymore. I am in exile with you. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. No matter how hard our road is, no matter how painful or how great the struggle is, he is there with us and he's there comforting us and guiding us and showing us every step of the way. And Mary knows this by faith. Zechariah doesn't have faith. He has given up his faith. Mary's question isn't, I don't believe. Mary's question is, how will this happen? How many times have we asked in our faith the same thing? How will this happen? If you wish to save your life, you will lose it. And if you lose your life, you will save it. So that means when we die, we are truly born again, aren't we? Yes, into eternal life. And the immediate question is, how? By faith, we respond, how will this happen? And I hear it all the time as a pastor. What will our bodies be like? How will we feel when we're raised? Will we know each other? Spoke to my mother a couple of weeks ago, and she asked me a great question. In heaven, will there be bathrooms? And if so, will we have to share them? You know, how? She's a woman of great faith, but she wants to know all the nuts and bolts. That's our human nature. Where there is no faith, the answer is there's no resurrection. We don't ask how it's going to happen. We say it can't happen. Zechariah's answer is, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Why? Because there's no faith. Mary's response is a faithful response. How? And the meaning is not only how, but how will I get through this? And the answer is, fear not, the Lord is with you. And today, the Lord is saying the same thing to you. Every Christmas, and I love, William, your beginning and your reading. Every Christmas, we're once again called to Emmanuel, God with us, coming to us, being with us. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are never alone. The Holy Spirit is in us and with us, yes? We're never alone. The Word of God is only just a hand away. We're never alone unless we choose to not believe. And then we are desperately alone. Desperately alone and isolated and at the mercy of the evil one. We're saved by faith. And that faith is not our works, but the work of God. Amen. Does God fail in anything he does? So how can we fail if we have been given his faith as a gift for our salvation? He will not let us fail. That doesn't mean we will like it necessarily. Did Jesus like everything that happened in his life, in his humanity? No. We found him crying twice. And we found him on the Mount of Olives asking the Father, can this cup be taken? Let's renegotiate this. What do you think? But thy will be done, not mine. The ultimate response of faith is thy will be done. What does Mary say? I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done according to his word. Let it be done according to his will. We walk by faith. We live by faith. But also we're fed by faith. And we're pointed and encouraged by faith. And we know we're not alone. That's the gift of grace. And it lives in us and guides us and strengthens us and feeds us in spite of everything that's happening and all the struggles that we have. And we will take that same journey Mary has taken. We will go from crisis into victory into even a deeper crisis. All of our journeys are to Golgotha. Unless our Lord comes, not a single one of us is going to escape our deaths. Not a single one. And the majority of us are going to have a very painful, painful, terrorized death. And then we have the resurrection. It is not finished until our Lord Jesus Christ comes. Amen. And that's why the entire Christian church should at its very heart and center be crying out, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. And that's why we cry now, come, Lord Jesus, come. Don't give me Gabriel. And I'm saying this honestly from the depth of my heart as a Christian. I don't want Gabriel to come to me. I want to see my Lord Jesus. I want to see the great banquet feast. I want every tear wiped away and nothing but joy to be filled for all eternity with my brothers and sisters in Christ through all of time. Lord, we don't need Gabriel. Lord, we need you. Amen.
Amen.